This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Good morning, Macoupin County. Welcome to Mark My Words. I am Mark Duggar with the Macoupin County Farm Bureau. Governor Pat Quinn signed a bill this past week that would eliminate the type of skirmish that occurred between the Sangamon County Board and local school districts last year over what the board's role should be if voters approved a sales tax increase for school construction. Quinn signed Senate Bill 2170, which eliminates the ability of county boards to block or reduce school construction sales tax levies. From now on, if county school districts put a referendum on the ballot, voters will have the final say, not county boards. U.S. net farm income should reach a record $103.6 billion this year, according to an updated report released Tuesday by the Agriculture Department's Economic Research Service. This represents a 31% jump over last year, with ERS citing higher crop and livestock prices as reasons for the big gain. ERS pegged 2010 net farm income at $79.1 billion. Illinois Farm Bureau used the Farm Progress Show as an opportunity to show legislators the wonders and challenge of today's farming. Illinois Farm Bureau started a busy Wednesday by bringing elected officials to its tent where the legislators spoke with farmers. Many of the farmers are part of IFB's Adopt a Legislator program. The program helps build long-term personal relationships between urban state legislators and farmers from across the state. Legislators are matched with a downstate county farm bureau, which adopts the legislator. Currently, 72 urban legislators have been adopted by county farm bureaus. Almost every legislator in Cook County has joined the program. After hearing from farmers, the legislators were taken to the show to see how technology helps farmers feed the world, protect the environment, and solve critical problems like growing energy needs. Elected officials also walked away with a strong understanding of how critical agriculture is to the state's economy. The Labor Department is proposing revisions to child labor regulations that will change the safety requirements for young workers employed in agriculture and related fields. The Agricultural Hazardous Occupational Rules that fall under the Fair Labor Standards Act, which has not been updated since 1970, bars young workers from certain tasks. The proposed rule just issued has been anticipated for over a year. The American Farm Bureau Federation supplied preliminary comments to DOL last fall as it began working on the proposal. The proposed rule would tighten current child labor regulations prohibiting agricultural work with animals and in pesticide handling, timber operations, manure pits, and storage bins. It would prohibit farm workers under the age of 16 from participating in the cultivation, harvesting, and curing of tobacco. And it would prohibit youth in both agricultural and non-agricultural employment from using electronic, including communication devices, while operating power-driven equipment. Department of Labor also is proposing to create a new non-agricultural hazardous occupations order that would prevent children under 18 from being employed in the storing, marketing, and transporting of farm product raw materials. Prohibited places of employment would include country grain elevators, grain bins, silos, feedlots, stockyards, livestock exchanges, and livestock auctions. Department of Labor is seeking public comments with a November 1 deadline for submission. Details on submitting comments will be published in the Federal Register. American Farm Bureau Federation will be submitting comments, and Farm Bureau supporters' retention of the present family farm exemption from the child labor provisions of the Fair Labor Standards Act. This year's Farm Progress Show, which began Wednesday in Decatur, included booths and tents from 600 companies, but show organizers had to turn away 40 companies due to lack of space, illustrating the current strength of the farm economy. Record high prices for corn and soybeans are drawing interest in the show, but farmers are still cautious and aren't expected to be spending money for luxury items, according to the Associated Press. Most farmers learned lessons from the farm depression in the 1980s and are using the current good times to pay off debt and grow at more manageable rates. Many farmers are concerned about the poor health of the general economy. Marty Kerbach, a corn and soybean producer from Jerseyville, Illinois, told the AP that $8 corn may be good for him today, but it may be more than the economy can afford. Early reports from the Pennsylvania Farm Bureau indicate that high winds and heavy rains from Hurricane Irene caused sporadic damage to farms and orchards in several areas of Pennsylvania. Carl Schaefer, Pennsylvania Farm Bureau president, told television station CBS 21 in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, that corn farms in parts of eastern and central Pennsylvania incurred damage from high winds. He says some of the crop is lost, while the storm damage will make it more difficult to harvest. Farmers will need to use special heads on their equipment to harvest the corn, and farmers probably won't be able to assess total losses from the storm until after the crop is harvested. CBS 21 reported that apples and other fruits fell to the ground during the storm in parts of the state. The largest and most mature fruit fell off the trees. Estimates have about 20% of the crop on the ground, which is a significant loss. There is something every person can do to protect groundwater, the largest source of fresh drinking water in the United States and the world, beginning on Protect Your Groundwater Day, which is September 13th. Two ways citizens can protect groundwater are to prevent its contamination and to use it wisely. Protect Your Groundwater Day was started by the National Groundwater Association. Learn other ways to protect groundwater by visiting NGWA's Protect Your Groundwater Day webpage. A new law signed this week by Governor Pat Quinn allows Illinois landowners or lessees the option of using purple paint markings on trees or posts on their property as a no trespassing notice. The purple paint law is designed as an alternative which Illinois landowners can use to protect their property from trespassing. The new law, Senate Bill 1914, was signed by Governor Quinn on August 22nd and took effect immediately. While the new purple paint law gives Illinois landowners or lessees the option of marking their property with a series of defined purple paint markings on trees or posts, additional notice is still required through 2012. Until January 1, 2013, those landowners using purple marks must continue to issue a no trespassing notice either by oral or written notice to individuals or by posting appropriate signage at the main entrance to the property in question. Provisions of the new law require that the purple paint marks used to designate no trespassing notice must either be a vertical line of at least 8 inches in length, and the bottom of the mark shall be between 3 and 5 feet high. Each mark shall be no more than 100 feet from another such mark and be readily visible to any person approaching the property, or a post capped or otherwise marked on at least its top 2 inches. The bottom of the cap or mark shall be between 3 feet and 5 feet 6 inches high. Posts so marked shall be no more than 36 feet apart and be readily visible to any person approaching the property. Prior to applying a cap or mark that is visible from both sides of a fence shared by different property owners or lessees, all such owners or lessees must agree to the decision to post their own property. Trespassing on property marked for no trespassing is a Class B misdemeanor, except when a person trespasses using a motor vehicle if the marked area is an orchard, an enclosed area containing livestock, a barn or other agricultural building containing livestock, or a field that is used or capable of being used for growing crops. Such trespassing constitutes a Class A misdemeanor. No landowner or lessee is authorized to post purple marks if doing so would violate any applicable law, rule, ordinance, order, covenant, bylaw, declaration, regulation, restriction, contract, or other instrument. The new purple paint law does not apply to real property located in a municipality of over 2 million inhabitants. And on behalf of the Macoupin County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, I am Mark Duggar. Have a great day, and God bless America.